We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Got ourselves the first episode of the podcast in quite a while. Quite a while, my friend. Monkeys has continuously declined me and said he absolutely refuses do the podcast. So I believe we are on episode 69 today, and today we'll be talking about the 7.31D patch and amongst other things. You know, there's some other things to talk about, maybe. We'll probably talk about Dota for about 4 minutes, and then we'll move on from there to whatever the conversation takes us to. So, how you doing, Muggies?
I'm doing pretty well, Brian. Pretty well. Got to go see Old Wonder with you. What was that now? 2.5 weeks ago?
Sounds about right.
Something like that? Yeah. About that.
Collie made a Streamless playlist for me like 8 months ago. And it definitely did not used to have O Wonder on it. And I was playing the playlist a few days ago, and it had O Wonder on it. So she had a couple of the songs on there. So it appears she was a big fan as well of some of their bigger hits. So,
we take those. Yeah. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Been a little jet lagged all week, and allergies suck. But aside from that, life's good. Life's good.
You did do a lot of traveling in like a 1 week time frame.
Yeah, it's true. I did.
Well, at least you're back, and you know, starting the process of getting readjusted.
slowly but surely, my friend. But we still need to do those 1v1 mids, by the way, dude.
Yeah,
I just want to say that I've been working on CS mechanics, and I'm owning in the mid lane. I just want to say I lost my last game because I threw the game, but like I won the lane. Okay, that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
I mean, honestly, it kind of is. Yeah, like because if you think about pubs as well, is a lot of people like they genuinely will just give up after having a bad laning stage. So you know, if you get to the point of consistently winning your lane, you know you're
basically Quinn at that point.
Yeah, your percentage of winning games just goes up significantly, right? Like you're already like you're getting yourself to the point that the mentally unstable players will easily give up. But before the game even really gets to like, you know, the real Dota part, right?
And having having the fact that I've historically been bad in mid really plays into that, because people will be like, I lost mid to BSJ, and then they're gonna like lose their shit.
there you go. See, you gotta think about these little things.
the Dota is a mind game, absolutely. So you know, we mentioned we'd be talking about the patch, so. What's your opinion on the patch, my friend? What are you thinking? What were you expecting? Is it what you were expecting? Is there something you thought was coming?
It's pretty close to what I was expecting. I maybe was expecting harder, hero nerfs. Like maybe I was expecting like CK to get hit harder, or, you know, like hell, even Furion. I genuinely expected Furion nerfs. I know, like, maybe, like, the top two teams or top three teams, they weren't, like, spamming Furion the way, like, every other team. I actually, no, Tomato was playing Furion a decent bit, but, like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like Furion didn't get touched, And that was just super strange to me. But
that's good for the Arkosh content, and they've got a bunch of dirty
very
Furion
true,
spammers.
Very true.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess I was expecting like a more severe like hero nerf for a few of the heroes, but you know, we got BKB nerfs, even though it wasn't as relevant as I might have hoped. Like I feel like competitively we're probably like kind of around the same patch, you know, just get BKB on these tanky frontliners, and yeah, you know, there's just gonna be more downtime between engagements now. I feel like that's just kind of what the BKB nerf did.
I actually kind of disagree, though. I kind of disagree with you.
Well, maybe more downtime is wrong. I suppose like it's a longer opening to make you vulnerable, is what I should say with the BKB cooldown change or whatever. But that's like decently significant. The salve change as well. You know, laning is gonna be pretty solidly different for safe laners. In my head, the first response I had to the salve change was that fives are just going to be buying like 9 to 12 tangos now, and like and you know how before like the carry would have one set of tangos and then the five would like ferry out five salves. I feel like the carry is going to have one salve, and the five ferries out like 12 to 15 tangos, and then you know that's kind of how you sustain in lane now. At least that would be my assumption. Who knows? This is just my initial thoughts, but
yeah, no, I don't think you're too far off there. I will be asking you to tango me 15 times in lane.
Yeah, I will be doing that.
Yeah, I will be tangoing you 15 times. It's funny because I played a pub to start the patch, and I asked my Shadow DM, I'm like, would you mind handing me a tango at the start of the lane? And he's like, buy yourself a tango. And I was like... I was like, okay.
Off to a good start.
Good
right.
talk. You know, that's how it is adjusting to the meta, my friends.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. But I was like, that wasn't what I was going for, but I tried.
Yeah.
Dude,
Brian, I don't know if you've seen Pudge, but Pudge seems like so fucking absurd.
Pudge is in a lot of my games. Yeah.
Brian, I had a phase boots, a hood, and double bracer, and I got Snapfire ulted and Legion Commander dueled with a Tusk on me using tag team and like Walrus punching me and shit. I literally got my hood active and my E off before they all went on me with Snap ult duel everything. I lost maybe a third of my HP, and then we killed all three of them. Like it was absurd how little damage I took. like they overbuffed Flesh Heap so hard. It is, I don't even know, man. It's pretty insane.
Let me give me a second here. I just want to make sure I don't like show my private information to people. I need to look while we're here. Go back to the podcast. Let me look at Pudge's win rate so far. I'm curious.
I mean, for that you have to consider
better.
Everyone's playing Pudge, though.
That's true.
I have seen so much Pudge. Like I truly have.
It's probably what was it? Wait, so. Where's Pudge? I feel like if people are playing him support, they're like wasting it. He's already gained 0.73% win rate today.
That's pretty insane for Pudge, dude.
Yeah. If Pudge is hovering around a 50, he's at a 48.7% win rate right now. So if Pudge is at almost 50%, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Dude, I love how Terrorblade is still at a 46%, dude. I thought that hero got massively buffed, and he's just...
Really?
People just suck at TB, I think.
I mean, that's definitely a factor as a known Terrorblade spammer.
Yes. I need to understand something. Why did Dawnbreaker gain 2.6% win rate? I am seeing Dawnbreaker in like 80% of my games. What am I missing? I've actually seen so many Dawnbreakers. They like barely changed anything. Like, I don't think any of her items got buffed or nerfed. Her strength growth got slightly reduced, her crit damage got slightly increased, and her guardian cooldown got lowered at max level. What about this hero is a 2.6% win rate? Does my chat have anything to say about this?
The alt cooldown lowering is kind of relevant just because you're able to like move around faster, I suppose, as the game goes on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't pretend to understand this shit, Brian.
People like, say stuff like global TP is too good, and it's like, but she always had a global TP. So.
Yeah. well, I mean, alt getting buffed, you know, again, BKB's longer cooldown, that also benefits global TPs, right? Because it again, there's a bigger opening. So, true. You know, heroes like Dawnbreaker and Furion are able to find those, you know, picks with Orchid or, you know, whatever, a lot easier. You know, a lot of small factors like that definitely come into play when win rates like that start changing a lot. I mean, again, like, this patch is going to be pretty similar outside of, like, laning, I would say, again, for the safe laners. But, again, I feel like that's just going to turn into Tango Wars rather than...
What do you mean by
Wars.
Pretty similar, Monkeys?
Like, I guess just map movements are pretty much the same, or like, you know, gonna be the same. You know, the idea is gonna be take the enemy safe lane T1 tower, mid T1 tower, play that area of the map, be fine 50-50. Like, you know, the game plan of Dota hasn't changed that much, right?
I mean, game plan never changes, though. It hasn't changed in like 3 years.
Well, but I mean, again, we talk about how we want to see something like that, right?
I mean, I didn't expect it for this patch, at least.
Well, sure. I guess I didn't really either. But still, I mean, like, you know, I'm still seeing BKB first two items on like every single core. Like,
I have not seen that nearly as much. Like, I've seen it on one or two heroes, but like, I'm seeing a lot of people pick Void Spirit, for instance. Like, I had it just in my last game. Heroes like Void Spirit, Puck, who don't buy BKB. Like, these heroes are way better now. Like, I think hero that doesn't have to buy a BKB is, like, innately way better than before. And I also had a viewer that mentioned something incredibly smart. Take a moment there. A Twitch chatter. Who said, heroes that had no cooldowns prior, like, low cooldown heroes like PA, that require BKB are basically garbage now. Like, I actually think they're like, it basically is like a hero like Sven, his ulti is about 90 seconds anyways, so putting his BKB from 75 to 90 doesn't change much for Sven. He waited till his BKB and his ultimate were up anyway. But for like a PA, you go from waiting 75 seconds to fight them again to waiting 90 seconds, and that's like incredibly exploitable. You know, I'm thinking of like PA, I'm thinking of Ursa, I'm thinking of, you know, any of these low cooldown heroes that have to buy BKB. And then I think it favors heroes like Monkey King and Sven, whose cooldowns on their ultimates are about the same as BKB. I also think Jug and Lifestealer are way better because of the BKBs. And I also think that Storm getting nerfed massively alone, as well as Pugna. Pugna got like a 2% win rate loss between yesterday and today.
I remember the Pugna nerf.
It's just like 5% to his ward, and then damage on the ward is less as well.
Yeah.
That I think this patch changed a shit ton. Nothing about the game, because I mean, I just didn't expect that, so I didn't really judge it on that criteria. I just think the meta, the heroes that are good, is going to be drastically different. Like, because
the core, maybe five or so,
is the same, but they're not as good, and there's going to be heroes that are, like, creeping up out of nowhere, and we both know that like the 5 or 10 best heroes in the game define every other hero. Like they just define if they're good, then they just find like what's good. Like for instance, if Dawnbreaker keeps getting picked every game, Nyx is gonna like fucking skyrocket. Like, and then if Nyx skyrockets, you need to put him in 4. So then suddenly like all the offlaners that can lane with Nyx, which is very few, like all the ranged fuckers like Necro and shit, those guys are gonna go way up in value. Like it's just like it's just stuff like this that I think is going to...
It's a chain reaction.
It's a chain reaction that I think is going to drastically impact the meta. Like, I think it is. I've already felt it in my games. I feel like what used to work doesn't, but go ahead.
So, something I personally was super surprised about was seeing that Marcy was actually added to Captain's Mode, because I think that hero's kit is... We talked about it a bit when I was... visiting you, like Marcy's kit is just like absolutely fucking absurd. Like that hero, I don't know, man. I personally believe Marcy is gonna be the most contested like first pick, first ban hero in a long time. Like a long time.
Yeah, I think the hero got drastically nerfed for pubs, but everything they nerfed about her doesn't really matter in coordinated Dota play. So,
yeah.
I mean,
repositioning spells in general are just that absurd, right? Like, Pudge has always been conceptually broken to me because of Meat Hook. Like, yeah, it's a skill shot, but, you know, if you have any setup for Meat Hook, you are literally just taking a hero from the enemy team and you're just replacing them out of position, right? Like that's just conceptually broken because you're just taking one hero out of a group of five, and you're just like, well, you are now on our side, and like, what do you know about that? but Marcy just does that for free. Like, if you get to a blink Aether Lens, you're just like, yeah, you're just over here now. sorry, I know you don't want to be, but you're just dead. So I don't know. I was definitely surprised seeing Marcy just straight up added to Captain's Mode. Like the way she just works as a hero right now, it just seems way too strong to me for competitive. But I suppose we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Marcy win rate will not be like that good being first picked or something. Which I personally would be super surprised about if that's the case. But you know, I've seen crazier things, like Earth Spirit win rate being abysmal and competitive for the first like year of him being released, even though he was the most conceptually broken hero for a long time.
Yeah, I do think Marcy's gonna make a nice little splash on the scene. I think it's especially spicy since the DPC's just going.
You know? Yeah, I know. We literally started the first like what day or two of DPC, and then they're like, "All right, Marcy's in the game now, boys."
Yeah, the thing is, if you have DPC consistently going, when are you supposed to do shit like that? You know, there's really no better option. It's just kind of funny how it works out. But I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I'm just looking forward to playing new heroes. I'm also like, I've learned a lot about how I want to approach Dota in terms of like hero spam and stuff, and like to get better at specific heroes and practice them one at a time. I was trying to move something out of my way, but it's fine. Put it on my camera
now
for a second.
We're cooking.
And I wanted a new patch to kind of like start fresh, to like have a new slew of heroes that I have to practice. So. Uh-huh. I'm glad a new patch came out for that exact reason. Any shout outs to heroes you think are a little bit, closet picks right now?
I mean, Furion not getting nerfed, especially with the BKB nerfs, was like, I think Furion is like the go-to hero this patch so hard. Like 15-minute shard on Furion, absolutely bonkers. But wait, Brian, there's more. Your level 20 talent just leashes for 6 seconds.
It's countered by four staff. Just to
I Yes, yes, Brian. A level 20 talent is countered either by Phase Quelling Blade or Force Staff. Hooray, you've done it. Furion is no longer broken. You figured him out, Brian.
I figured it out. It could also be Phase Battle Fury, my friend.
That true. Good catch.
Yes, thank you. Apparently, Rubarzon's been saying this in my chat all the time. You can also get out of it by planting a branch on top of yourself. So there's multiple counters.
That's very good for us as well.
Honestly, late game, if I like buy back and I lost my Aegis or something, I'm putting a fucking branch in my inventory against Nature's Prophet.
Are the branches counteracted if you use phase boots active? You're not, or it's not, right?
Probably. Yeah, probably. It wouldn't work item. Actually, I don't know. No, probably not. It wouldn't matter. You can't phase through trees.
Yeah, phase doesn't matter for tree collision.
Yeah.
What can I say? It's the perfect solution. Good job, Rubarzon.
Time to buy phase on Anti-Mage. No, I think it's time to buy four staff on Anti-Mage, my friend. That's the most
better. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we all know you're a Nature's Prophet fan, Gay. Is there anything else you got?
Dude, Furion and Pudge. I'm telling you, Pudge is absurd right now, Brian. Like, I feel like when I played Pudge, I played two games of Pudge, Brian. I genuinely thought that they bugged Flesh Heap with how little damage I was taking. I just got spell amp, and I took no self damage, or not spell amp. I got spell lifesteal, and I just went ags, and I just took no damage myself when Flesh Heap was active, and I would just heal like hundreds of health per second. And like I just, what do you do against that when the 4,000 health hero walks at you at like 25 minutes? Tell me. That's doing like 200 AoE slow damage in like a 500 AoE around him and takes no damage for 12 seconds. What do you do?
What do you mean 12 seconds? Isn't it 6 seconds?
Yeah, it's like 6 or 8. I'm exaggerating for the sake of a point. But it's still a good point of like, you're like invulnerable.
Dude, it literally doesn't say on the skill how long it lasts for.
Classic. It's definitely like 6 or 8 seconds. I was exaggerating.
Yeah, I'm literally looking at the description in client, and it doesn't tell you. I think Boxy said it was 6. Let me see. So it goes 20-second cooldown, and it lasts 5 seconds. Prepare yourselves for the main. What about
it's Does probably it 6 up? Seconds, but it just immediately goes to, or it immediately goes down to like 5 seconds or whatever when you click it or ping it.
No, it goes up in duration. Yeah. It looks like it's like 4, 5, 6, 7 or 5, 6, 7, 8 or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely went
manually testing. Manually testing how things work. Wait, actually, let me look it up.
Yeah, go ahead and look it up, but it's much better to just manually test it, because it doesn't fucking say in the... Hope they're hard of hearing. Yeah, it's at least 7 seconds, because I immediately pinged it, and it said 7 seconds. Prepare for battle. It's 8 seconds, max. Yeah, I got it to ping 8 seconds.
See? Dude, eight seconds of invulnerability, that's fucking nuts. That's nuts. And all you need is literally like phase hood or something like that. And dude, you're just so strong. You're so strong.
Tell me how strong you are, monkeys.
I don't want to be the one telling you how strong I am. I want Jenkins to be the one telling you how strong he is.
I don't know if you know, Gorp is fucking 3-0 on carry pudge. So time to whip out the carry pudge.
I mean, honestly, I'm fucking in. You, dude, Brian, you just don't take damage. It's like, where'd the damage go?
But I have to push a button.
I mean, yes, you do have to push one button, and it only has like 4 seconds of downtime because the cooldown is only 12 seconds. So, but anyways, that's not even the point, because it prevents physical, pure, and magic. It prevents all of the damage.
Monkeys. It's literally a 14-second cooldown, monkeys.
Wait, is it 14? I thought it was 12.
Yeah, that's 14.
Oh, damn it.
You're just spewing factually incorrect shit right now, Marcus.
I thought it was 12 seconds. Anyways, okay, a 6-second downtime. Oh, no. It's so much worse than a 4-second downtime. Okay, it actually kind of is.
That's significantly worse.
it doesn't mean that you're not invulnerable for 8 seconds.
Somebody's asking, is it dispellable?
No. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it is because you said no. Let me go ahead and test this. I'll let you know, chat. Don't worry, guys. I got you. No, it is not purgeable.
Hell yeah. See, I knew it.
Wow.
God, I'm so smart.
You really are. Good for you, buddy.
Thank you.
Impressive.
But yeah, so you know, Furion and Pudge. I've done my convincing. I feel like I don't need any more reasons on my side of the argument.
Furion and Pudge, okay. Well, I think the broken hero is apparently Dawnbreaker. I've lost to it like every game. But then secondly, Bristleback. That hero is...
Wait, really?
Yeah, I think Bristleback is nutty. This, like, low cooldown, no BKB buying shit is going to be broken. Any hero with no BKB.
I will say, when you mentioned that, honestly, Brewmaster sounded way better to me, too. Just because it's easier to, like, lift people with Tornado when people are less willing to hit BKBs and whatnot. Or, you know, BKBs are just on cooldown for longer periods of time.
Dude, I feel like one of the most important things for me to do is to start, like, I've started doing this more and more every patch, is to, like, accrue a ban list of heroes that I am getting annoyed with. It reminds me that they're good, and it also reminds me to ban them if I am annoyed by it.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
Dawnbreaker's at the top of that right now, my friend. She's at the fucking top.
I can
Storm
see that
Spirit's
too.
Off.
Furion's up there for me.
I haven't had any issues with Furion because nobody's picking it in my games.
I mean, well, I'm from North America, and I'm still in North America, Brian, and all we do here is pick Furion first pick, and everyone else in the game goes, God fucking damn it, I want to play one game without fucking Furion in it.
I don't see it at all here. I mean, I've seen it some, but like compared to what you're saying, not very much. At all.
I mean, I've also been playing like unranked, but the amount of Furion in unranked, and it literally wins every game. So, like, whether I'm playing it or I'm playing against it, it's just like, well, yep, that's Furion.
Yeah, for sure. Somebody in chat, I mentioned Core Clockwork. I've been wanting to try that. Clockwork, definitely.
Core Clockwork?
Yeah, offlane. Koikfa's been playing it a few times. It actually looks pretty good. Yeah, Level 7, you can cut creeps and pull them into the small camp and kill the wave and the small camp with one battery. So.
Honestly, I can see that. That's a... Oh, no.
Oh, no.
My glasses screw came loose. I gotta tighten that. I'm just going to take them off for now, you know? I don't need my glasses on. But
Rubar's on. Nobody cares about Willow, but I'll ask. What do you think about Willow, monkeys?
I haven't even seen her one. Dude, Willow got destroyed with that one Shadow Realm nerf, the 0.5 second delay.
Yeah.
Going in.
He's been having a really high win rate with it, so he keeps asking about Willow. And I'm just like, dude, I just don't see Willow in my games. Like, ever.
I mean, take it from someone who literally played 350 games of Willow within the first 2 months of Willow being released. Willow is hot garbage right now. Like,
I'm just saying, I don't think you're gonna convince him of that because he's played a shit ton of Willow and he's winning. So, like, that's his only hero. He plays probably. I think he's played like 1,000+ games of Willow. 2,500 games of Willow.
Trust me. I get wanting Willow to work. I get it. Like, Willow is a fun hero.
I mean, my argument is that if you're that good at a hero, it'll just, like, be better than it seems.
Yeah. That's also very true.
But, yeah.
I mean, people are asking me to ask you about Heroes. I don't think that's like a good use of our time for podcasts. I just feel like this patch, I mean, I'm just excited because there's a lot of new shit to try. I want to try Lina with the magic build. They buffed that pretty hard. It's like an extra 35 damage on all of your spells, and then it's like much more reliable Lina to here. Keep your passive going. Like an extra 3 seconds on that. I mean, I just want to try a bunch of shit. My only issue is here. My unsung heroes. I'll give a couple carries. You know, a lot of people are talking about like Jug and Terrorblade buffs and stuff. I think Alchemist is like super broke. That hero's been easy.
Yeah. I do think we're in tow for another Alk patch.
Yeah, Alk feels nice. I've been playing it incorrectly too. A lot of people are going stun, level 1 or 2, and they just have like acid spray plus stun, and you get like any support that does physical damage.
And then you just murder people.
And
in
people
lane.
People just get murked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious about something like Venge Alk, like Snap Alk. I mean, these are the ones that like
Tusk
come to mind. Tusk. I think a melee hero would be a bit awkward. Maybe Dazzle? Dazzle Alk?
Oh, yeah.
Dazzle Alk sounds like it has a good synergy. Dazzle's been in a few of my games. He seems really strong, too. I think any low cooldown shit that saves is better now as well, because you don't want to buy BKB. So having a save support as a carry makes
my... Guess who plays Dazzle?
Jenkins?
No, Brian, I literally was raising my hand. Like, I...
Oh. So Nushim.
God damn.
You play Dazzle as your second hero, says Rubarzon. Well, yeah, I've seen it a few games, and I do think that any low... I predicted that any heals and saves would be better this patch, because nobody wants to buy BKB anymore. So... You at least want to be able to delay your BKB until, like, third or fourth item. Or at least you want to be able to, like, hold on to your BKB. Like, you don't want to just start the fight having to BKB. That sounds kind of ass nowadays.
I heard, Who was it? Never mind. I don't have anything. I forgot what I was going to bring up.
What a wonderful point, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. That was really good.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
God damn it, Brian. Why do you have to do the fucking long, awkward silences?
Just don't react to it, monkeys. Just don't laugh. Just don't. There you go. Very good. Very good.
Wow. Wow.
Someone in chat said this is the most awkward podcast he's ever witnessed. Hey, we're the best at something, monkeys. Think about that. That's what he just told us. We're the best at something. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for that.
I don't even get how it's awkward. We're just two guys talking about Dota.
I mean, that's probably like innately awkward because we're like two Dota players, you know?
Yeah.
Like Dota players do tend to lack social skills, so we got to blend in.
Yeah, that's why we're such awful streamers, because
of course,
you know, no social skills.
By the way, monkeys, why is your face lit up like a light? Why
I
are
don't
you...
This is the camera that you made me buy, and it's so bright.
Dude,
and
just
I
literally turn it to the left, dude. you know how to like turn it off, right?
What?
Do you not have the light on your camera? Is there no light on it?
No, there's no light on it.
Oh, well, then you need to just go into your settings. I'm using the camera right now, and I don't look like I'm freaking...
Okay,
I'm having a car shout its lights in my eyes right now.
Dude, I've never dealt with camera settings before. I just kind of existed for the past 2 weeks. You know?
That's pathetic. Yeah, that's pathetic. It's fine. We'll talk about it. If you need help, I'm here for you, buddy. I'm here for you if you need help.
Thank you.
If you need to phone a friend on this one, I'm here. You do look like Casper the Ghost. That is accurate. Thank you, person in chat.
All right.
Monkeys looks like he's about to get hit by a truck a second time. I like the a second time thing. That's good. BSJ is still pasty without the light shining on him. I am indeed very white, my friend. I am indeed very white.
I mean, I am too. I don't leave my house.
Okay. True. So let's let's actually get to the spicy shit because, you know, I by the way, I was thinking let's keep the podcast to exactly 45 minutes so we know, like, we have a good timer on it. I just wanted to tell you that for future reference. Something we could easily discuss off the podcast and not spend a single second in the podcast talking about it, but I'm just going to make sure extend that.
What's the fun in that?
Yeah, what's the fun of, like, actually doing things professionally? But for the sake of, you know, what I loved the most about this patch, a lot of people, I think, were disappointed with the patch because people saw that Valve post that said this update's going to be bigger than normal, and then everyone was like, oh shit, we're going to get new hero or something.
Yeah.
But they actually shipped a bunch of quality of life changes, okay? So first and foremost, little highlights. We can kind of brush over them, though, is the Immortals. You don't have to equip them to use their special effects. You can actually put the Immortal effects on your hero without it, which is really nice. I think that's just a overall cool idea.
It's very cool.
I like that a lot. And then they also gave you the clip ability in replays and stuff, which I think is super dope because as a content creator, like, it just removes one step of the equation. I haven't really looked into how I'm going to use it efficiently yet, but that's really cool. And then the highlight for me, though, just like
I know which one this is.
The highlight for me was the new treasure. That treasure... No, actually, the new treasure...
He had us in the first half, not gonna lie.
No, the new treasure is actually pretty horrible, but the avoid list, we all know what we're thinking. So what they did, if people are living under a rock, is that, first off, you can use Dota Plus shards to purchase avoid list slots.
Man,
so it's interesting about the repercussions on upper tier Dota. I'm actually curious, especially in NA where the player pool is super small. Like, if people just buy like 50 avoid slots, you know, what happens?
Yeah.
Do people not find games anymore or whatever? I think it's hilarious because it's kind of like the most budget roll queue you could ever have. Because for me, really? I'm just spending like 80% of my avoids on carry players. Like, I'm just like, that guy's a carry, avoid him. And in the past, that wasn't really viable for me. But like, now I can just avoid all carry players that are like higher ranked than me, which there's only like 3 because I'm just so good. No, there's actually like 150, you know, fuck so many carry players. But the slots progressively cost more and more, so they start off pretty cheap, but they get expensive pretty quick in terms of shards. But that part's nice. That part's definitely nice, and it's nicer to have a larger list. But the MVP for me, Monkeys, is actually the notes that you can take on the avoid list. Have you made use of that yet?
I have not, no.
I have made use of that on every single avoid, okay? I give myself... I mean, I'm just going to read you some of my notes here, right? Rank 160 carry player. Easy. Like, so, like, once my list fills up, I know, like, that's probably going to be one of the guys that, like, would get taken off first, because it's, like, not the end of the world to have a rank 160 carry player on my team, but why not avoid him, right? He didn't do anything toxic, so I just say rank 160 carry player. Next one, rank 1K core player who cannot support. That, he's going to stay on my list much longer, Monkeys. Okay, he's going to stay on my list much longer.
Until you're like solidly top 200.
Yeah. Until he's out of my games. Until he's out of my games. Absolutely. The next guy, I put account buyer. So
that guy's permanently on my list until
he's probably saying that.
he's on my list. And then my favorite part is there's like specific players that I just say Mikey. I don't know if you know who Mikey is, but he's commonly known to be incredibly toxic. I've got him on my avoid list. Chad Dodo, shout out to you, buddy. I can now label you as Chad Dodo. You're never coming off my list again. I've avoided that guy at least 8 times. At least 8 times. And then we got FN. Got him on the avoid list as well. Oh. Absolutely fantastic. And then I've avoided at least 4 people who are lower ranked than me, like they're lower MMR than me, that were willing to play support and wouldn't even buy a ward. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they give me my role, but they won't even buy a ward. You know, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry. It's my choice here is to either support you or not have any wards. So I'm not going to do that. But yeah, so I've just got a bunch of notes, and all this tells me is once my avoid list fills up, I can easily pick and choose who I want to, you know, remove. Definitely priority the rank 160 carry players.
That's a good point. I should definitely make use of that as well, just because, I mean, my memory is awful. The way I've managed my avoid list up until now is basically like, if you get on my avoid list, then you're just on a timer, right? Until I've
you're on a little bit of a timeout, yeah.
Until I avoid enough people for you to get kicked off. But you know, 50 avoid slots, I feel like that's enough for me to like really pick and choose who I don't want on my team on the server, and be like, all right, these are, or all right, maybe not like all 50, but like a solid like 40 of them are gonna go to people that I just never want to see in my team.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, man, what I'm genuinely curious about is there's at least like 5 players that come to mind on the EU server even that like nobody wants to play with. Like I've seen them, like nobody, like they're just toxic. And I'm just imagining that like 6 months from now, give or take, they aren't going to be able to find games.
Yeah.
And I have a note. You're not coming off my avoid list, man. People are going to catch on because that other guy is going to be like, wait, I've literally had this guy on my team every game because everyone else has him avoided. So, like, I mean, the thing for there's just people that are like stressful to play with. Like they're higher ranked than me, so like they're clearly higher skill or whatever, but they're just like polarizing as fuck and they're super toxic. You know, you never know what you're gonna get. You're gonna get the guy that goes 20-0 and carries you, or the guy that like one thing goes wrong and he just baby rages and breaks his items. Like those are the type of players that like I just have no desire to play with you on my team, despite you being better than me. I mean, people mention like ATF. The thing is, I don't even think ATF is that toxic. Like, I've never seen him break items. I'm sure he does it sometimes, but like, that guy, I feel like shit talks you, but you can just mute him.
People like ATF, they're just vocal, man. And,
yeah,
you can
just mute him and move on. I feel like he's not toxic at all in comparison to, like, at least in the way I care about somebody being toxic.
I mean honestly I couldn't give less of a shit about people who just want to like, you know, be vocal, talk shit, like, you know, try to get in people's heads like that way. Like, you know, Seb has historically done that. ATF, he's obviously doing. There's been plenty of people. I don't have to call them all out one by one, right? Like, shit talking is just kind of a part of Dota at this point. But, you know, it's the griefers who, like, shit talk and then, you know, don't play the game, or, you know, shit talk and then jungle for 40 minutes without trying to interact.
Yeah, for example, on my avoid list, I literally have a guy who's, like, ranked 260 who got really pissed and just kept. And he just bought Boots of Travel on Necro and just TP'd to lanes and just died over and over again. And we actually won the game. Like, he was, like, feeding nonstop. But we actually won that game. And I was just like, I never want that guy on my team again. He actively gave up at, like, 10 minutes into the game. So
Which is also, like, I feel like It's kind of frustrating because it can be so difficult to tell if like someone is just having like one of those games like you know where they're just they have no focus whatsoever. They know they're playing bad. Maybe that really is just that like one off game for them where like you know they just got so beyond tilted in the first 10 minutes that like they don't they just can't like you know reset themselves enough and you know they just play like shit all game. But it's like every game forward from there, like maybe they're gonna be fine, right? but it was just like that one game was just so bad. I don't know. I do my best to like try to give people multiple chances instead of just being like, all right, you know, you had one really bad game or one really bad performance. I mean, you know, if people just straight up feed or you know do something like super intentionally to grief. I'm like, all right, you're out of here. But if someone is just clearly like tilted and then like you still win the game off it, I'm like, all right, you know, you have a warning now. I'm not gonna straight up avoid you yet, but like we gotta keep you in mind. See how you perform in future games.
I mean, the thing for me is that I draw the line at. I think one of the worst things I've noticed nowadays, because I've really tried to stop doing it, is the core players that spend the time chatting in their team chat, like vocal team chat. Flaming the guy that's like 2k MMR lower than he is. Like they're just like ranked with 1,000 players, you fucking suck, like AFK bots. And he's like doing that in the team chat. It's yeah, like, yes, we know you are 2,000 MMR above this guy, and your expectations of him should be as such, you know?
Yeah.
And instead of like playing his game, he's just flaming the guy the whole time. Those kind of people, I mark that as like they flamed their team the whole game. Like flamed lower MMR players. I think it's like super annoying. Like that's like something if he does it once, he's gonna do it again. Like there's no like redemption arc for me there. That guy's gonna need some serious personal therapy to fix that one. But yeah, so we are at the 45 minute mark. I don't need to do like a hard stop, but we can kind of start bringing it to a close.
Winding it down.
But yeah, so first impressions of the patch, talked about that today. We can just, you know, if we keep this to like a solid 45 minute monkeys, I feel like it's, you know, because we already spend time with each other on the Arkosh content team, I feel like this is just like a good duration for us to eventually do a regular podcast somewhat regularly.
Again, man, we gotta get Jenkins is always busy now, so, you know, what?
Jenkins is busy drinking Diet Coke. What can you do?
Yep.
Diet Coke and Diet Red Bull. It's Coke Zero, I think, is what his choice of.
Yeah.
Choice of.
We know our Bubby 3, 4.
Yes.
5.
We do. He is also doing Herald reviews. But yeah, man, that's it for episode 69 of the podcast. Any final words,
my
friend?
69th episode.
69F, dude. Any closing
remarks? Next week will be 69D again.
Yes, of course.
69D.2.
We'll have to go through the whole alphabet before we hit the point twos, monkeys. Don't get too ahead
of yourself. Sorry, my bad. I mean, you know, we got to keep them on their toes. You know, we gotta bounce around a little bit.
They have to really follow the podcast if they want to keep up with those.
Yeah.
But yeah. So thanks for watching, guys. Thank you, monkeys, for managing to finally say yes to the podcast. I would like to give a shout out to your camera. It does need serious work.
I'll fix it, okay?
The biggest thing that you need to change about it, because I had this issue too, is you need to remove autofocus. You need to put it at the right focus and remove autofocus. Otherwise, it does like this zoom thing over and over again.
Okay.
But yeah, guys, it looks like, you know, mine just did it right now, even though it isn't supposed to. I actually hate my camera. Either way, thanks for watching, guys. That's it from us. Monkeys, wave goodbye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye, monkeys.
I was instructed to do this.
Yes, he's doing it against his will. See you, buddy.
Bye.